Yeah, exactly.
With your
Like
fans.
dehydrating.
Moshe Ben Sion, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to Moshe Ben Sion Puccino. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hava, Moshe Ben Sion. Sorry, what? Still, that's his makom kavua. All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off on today's daf is daf lamed ches. We left off on lamed zayin amud beis. So if you remember again, we left off tanan hasam 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. Very interesting gemara today, all about na'anuim. Well, not all about, but the first part is about na'anuim, about shaking the luluf. So remember again, that was the lashon of the Mishnah. We saw the machlokes. Beishan Beisilas, the one exactly we shake the lulav over the course of Hallel. So the Gemara talks about shaking or waving in a different context. The Gemara says, Tanan Hosom, we learned there, and here the Gemara is quoting a Mishnah from Meseches Menachos, and the Mishnah says the following, Shtei halechem u'shtei kivsei atzeres, the two loaves and the two sheep that were brought, the two lambs that were brought on Shavuos, Ketzaru Osa, what do you do with them? Maniach shtei halechem agave shnei akvasin, you place the two loaves on top of the two lambs, and you place your hands underneath the lamb, and you wave the lambs. What do? Umenif, umolichu, maybe. You move the lambs forward and backwards, ma'ala umorid, up and down. Shene'emar asher hunaf va'asher huram. So also we see the concept of tenufa, the concept of waving, is not just the din, is not just the din in the anuim of lulav, but rather, again, we see primarily, or at least biblically, we see them by the shtei halechem, by the offerings of Shavuos, and we also see it, by the way, where else? By Bikurim, yeah. Also to know for the act of waving is also part of the service. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, well, what's the symbolism of the waving? Molich umevi, and Rabbosai, this applies, by the way, to the lulav as well. This applies to the lulav as well. Molich umevi, you bring it forward and backward. Why? L'misha ha'arba ruchos shalom. Because the act of bringing it forward and backwards indicates an idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is control of all four directions. Ma'ala umorit, you wave it upwards and downwards. L'misha ha'shamayim va'aretz shalom, to teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately is in control of the earth as well as the heavens. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says L'misha arba ruchos shalom. Bless you, Rashi says mitzvah zu anu osim l'shmo. What the Hanafa demonstrates, the Hanafa in the context of a mitzvah, is by showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion, ultimately up and down, heaven and earth, all four directions. What we are ultimately demonstrating is that the world as a whole belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore everything we do ultimately is done for the sake of God. In Eretz Yisrael, they taught the following. Amar Rav Chama bar Okva, Amar Rav Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina, Molich umevi, we move the lulav forward and backward, kadei la'atzar ruchos ra'os, in order to go ahead and stop detrimental winds. The Gemara discusses that there are certain winds that are detrimental for crops, certain winds that are detrimental for health, so we move the lulav forward and backward in order to go ahead, and this is not just lulav, this is anytime we do a tenufa, in order to go ahead and stop negative winds, detrimental winds. Ma'ale umorit, we put the lulav, we shake it up and down, or move it up and down, kadei la'atzor telalim ro'im, in order to stop negative or detrimental rainfall or dewfall. So again, not every type of dew ultimately is beneficial. Some of it is detrimental. So again, we move it up and down in order to stop negative or detrimental dewfall. Okay, so Rosai said, this is the symbolism, by the way, of the Nanum. And by the way, they don't have to be mutually exclusive. They can actually work very beautifully in concert together. The idea is we're expressing dominion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all different directions, over the directions heaven and earth. We're also asking in a physical sense to stop negative winds, to go ahead and stop negative dewfall. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Abin, Bitim Rabbi Yossi Bar Zevila. Zos Omeres, this teaches us, Shiyarei Mitzvah, Ma'akvin Es HaParon. So we'll say, what do you see from here? That shiori mitzvah. Now, what does shiori mitzvah mean? Shiori mitzvah means that even a leftover part, meaning even a non-essential part of the mitzvah, has the ability to go ahead and prevent negative things from occurring. Shahari tenufa, shiori mitzvah, Because the act of waving, Rabbi say, is not a primary part of the mitzvah, and yet va'otzeres ruchos ra'os, it stops negative winds utilalim ra'im and detrimental dew. I know, but I'm not going to stop again. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Look at Rashi, Shiari Mitzvah. Rashi's Mitzvah Shehi Shirayim, She'ena Ikar La'akev Kapara. If you have a part of a mitzvah that is Shirayim, that is a leftover part of the mitzvah, it's not an essential part of the mitzvah, meaning that when we say essential is that it's not essential to create atonement. Afapikin Chashuvahi La'akev Asaparonus. Nevertheless, even a quote-unquote insignificant part of the mitzvah is still strong enough to be able to offset negative things. Rashi says, Shahari Tenufa, Shish Yoy Mitzvah, Ve'ina Ma'akeves, Kidisanya B'toras Kohanim. So Rashi goes on to explain, he explains actually that this is by other karbanos, other sacrificial parts, that L'maisa again, Tenufa is not Ma'akev. So the Gemara says, Ve'amar Rava, Ve'chein B'lulav. And Rava says, so too with lulav. Now, what's so too with lulav? Look at Rashi. Molech umevi ma'ale umorid. That so too by lulav, we do all of these things that we just described. Because we're supposed to remember, the tenufa that was being described on Amud Beis, on Lama Zayin, Amud Beis, was tenufa vis-a-vis the Shavuos service. So now Rava's coming along and saying, oh, and by the way, now that we've established the proper order for tenufa, that act of waving also goes ahead and applies to lulav. Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So we'll say again, we obviously over the years have also expanded this idea. Molech umevi, the Rishonim understand, not over the years, the Rishonim understand to mean that doesn't just have to mean forward and backward. Molech umevi could also mean what? In all directions, which makes sense because the Gemara says that the symbolism of Molech umevi is what? Lemisha arba ruchos shalom. The symbolism of Molech Umevi is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has control over all four directions. So essentially, with the Tenufa process by Shavuos is the same Tenufa process, same waving process adopted by Lulav. So the Gemara goes weiter. Rav Acha bar Yaakov menmatile umaisile. I will say just an interesting aside, which we're not going to get to it today, but the interesting discussion, maybe we'll get to it at a different, find a different thing when we have more time, is whether or not this waving includes shaking, right? Because right now, again, this is just talking about moving the lulav in that direction. Does it include a shaking of the lulav as well? Some side discussion we'll have to have a different time. The b'chein b'lulav. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov matilei u'maisilei. Rav Acha bar Yaakov would move his lulav forward and backward. Matilei u'maisilei. Amar, and he would say, din gira be'ena desit. This should be like an arrow in the eyes of the satan. Okay, Belav Nilsi, and the Gemara says, don't do that. It's not a good idea. Mishum da'asi ligiure bay, because ultimately, again, literally, it could incite the Satan against the person. Look at Rashi ligiure sheyiskare bo Satan shuyetzahara viyasienu litos me'al kono. Literally, it will go ahead and incite the Satan, that is the Yetzahara, and the Yetzahara will bring a person ultimately again to transgress. So also, I just think it's an interesting idea psychologically as well. What the proper approach in life is not to test yourself. The proper approach in life is not to place yourself in harm's way. The proper approach in life, to a certain degree, at least when it comes to sin, is avoidance. Avoid situations that ultimately, again, could compromise you. People are foolish sometimes and they say, oh, I'm strong enough. I can put myself in any situation. It's never going to be a problem. It's wrong, it's stupid, it's foolish, and it's arrogant. Because when people do that, even if you escape one time, two times, you will fail. You will fail. That's just the nature of man. The proper approach when it comes to avoidance of sin is literally avoidance of sin. I try to avoid the situations that could compromise me. So the Gemara says, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, do me a favor. Don't start up with the Satan. Not that I'm afraid. Remember, we don't believe in the guy with the pitchfork. You know, and that's not what we're talking about. But don't start up with that. Don't incite yourself. Don't create a situation where you demonstrate that you feel you have some level of mastery over the Yetzirah when no man could ever truly claim to have accomplished that. Mishnah. Misha Baba Derech. We'll say another. This is very interesting Gemara today. Misha Baba Derech. This is the real coffee. Let's be honest. This is the real coffee. Misha Baba Derech. V'lohaya biyadalulav. Somebody came from traveling, came from the road, came from the journey, and he didn't have a lulav with him, meaning he didn't have a lulav with him on his journey. So he gets home now. He has not yet benched lulav and estrog. So what should he do? Lito l'chishi kanis labeso. Excuse me. So when you get home, you should take it on your table. Now I will say this lashon of taking it on your table. Rashi indicates the following: we'll say this is what it sounds like. I was on a journey and I did not have a lulav with me. So I came home. It's the middle of the day. Sometime I have not yet benched lulav and esrog. So what should I do? What should I do? Now the Mishnah seems to indicate. And I sat down to eat a meal. I was hungry and I realized, oh, in the middle of a meal, I did not bench lulav and esrog. So what should I do? Says the Mishnah, stop, stop in the middle of eating. Take lulav and esrog, and then continue your meal afterwards. So the Gemara says, lo notel shachris, if you did not shake the lulav in the morning, yitol bein ha'arbayim, then you could bench lulav and esrog in the afternoon. Why? Shekol hayom kosher lulav, because the entire day is kosher for netilas lulav. Says the Gemara, amrit, notla ashulchano, you know, you gave this lashon that you should take the table, you should bench lulav and esrog at your table, which the Gemara understands to mean what? Lememra demafsik. Now, ultimately, again, what that seems to indicate is what? That if you started a meal and you're in the middle of your meal, that what, and you realize you didn't bench lulav and esrog, what should you do? Interrupt your meal. You have to interrupt your meal, mamish, in the middle of a meal to bench lulav and esrog. The Gemara says, or minhi, or raise a kasha, imis chilu ein mafsikin. Rabosai, the Gemara over here quotes a Gemara from Maseches Shabbos. And what is this Gemara talking about? Look at Rashi, imis chilu ein mafsikin. Gabi tfilas amincha tenala b'Maseches Shabbos. Lo yeshiv adam with me a sapper, velo yikanes, lo lecho, velo ladun, vimischilu kodem amincha, umashcha sudaso, sudasan vigiz man amincha, ein mafsikin, ein trichin lahafsik sudaso. So, listen to this. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos discusses the following idea that there are certain things that you're not supposed to do at mincha time. But yet, the Gemara says that what? So, for example, let's keep it simple. You're not supposed to start a suuda. You shouldn't start a suuda at the time that mincha comes around. Rather, what should you do? First, daven mincha, then have your suuda. What happens if you started your suuda? So, what does the Gemara say? Ein mafsikin, you don't have to stop. So, here we see, for example, by mincha, that if I started my suuda, I need not stop the suuda from mincha. Rather, what? Finish the suuda. And when I finish the suuda, I'll do mincha afterwards. That contradicts our Mishnah, because what does our Mishnah say? If I started the Suda, but I realized that I did not yet bench a little bit after, then what do I have to do? I have to be mafsik. I have to stop. So what's going on over here? Rav Safra says, no, low kasha. It's not a contradiction. Had di'ika shos bayom. Had d'leka shos bayom. So Rav Safra says, it's not a kasha. Why? Two different cases. The case by Mincha is where what? There's enough time during the day. There's enough time during the day where what? I can finish my meal and there's still time for mincha afterwards. The case of the Mishnah is what, Rabosai? I got home late in the day and I'm sitting down to eat this seuda. And if I'm not mafsik now, then what? Then what? I might lose the window to perform the mitzvah. So what Rav Safra is suggesting is, essentially, if there would be enough time, you're right, you don't have to be mafsik. Finish whatever you're doing. Finish, again, Rabosai, I want to be clear. The lechatchila is, don't start the Su'udah until you discharge the mitzvah at hand, be it mincha or be it lulav. But if you started already, you could continue as long as what? There'll be enough time later on in the day to do the mitzvah. If for some reason there's not enough time, then enochinami, you have to stop right now to do the mitzvah. Amar Rabbis, I don't understand my kushya. What's the question? Dilma had da'oraisa had rabbanon. So Rabbis says you're comparing apples and oranges. You're comparing lulav to mincha. Lulav is d'oraisa, mincha is d'rabbanon. So maybe when it comes to mitzvah d'oraisa, you have to be mafsik. You have to be mafsik. Even if there's time, you still have to be mafsik right now to do it. When it comes to mitzvah d'rabbanon, like mincha, that you don't have to be mafsik for. Ela amar Rava. So Rava says, Ela ikasha hakasha. So Rava says, if you're going to ask a question, here's the question you should ask. L'sheikhanes lebeso notlo al shulchano. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, when you come into your house, you should take the lulav by your table. Alma demafsik. So we'll say, the lashon of taking it at your table indicates that you already sat down to a su'udah, and therefore the Mishnah is telling me that you should interrupt your su'udah to go ahead and what? To go ahead and take lulav and esrog. V'hadr trani, but yet then later on the Mishnah says, lo natal shachris yital bein harbayim. But yet the same Mishnah says just a moment later that what? If you didn't take it in the morning, you could take it in the afternoon, which indicates that what? Alma lo mafsik. Which also indicates to us what that you don't have to stop everything you're doing to do the mitzvah of lulav because you have time throughout the day. Amar Rav Safra lo kasha. Rav Safra Basai again answers his same answer. Had diika shahus bayom. Had deleka shahus bayom. Rav Safra says it's not a contradiction. Everything depends on what, like most things in life, timing. Right? If you have time, if there's more time throughout the day to perform the mitzvah, then lemaisa, again, you don't have to stop what you're doing to perform the mitzvah. Rather, again, you can do it later. But if there's not enough time throughout the day and we're nervous that the window is going to close, then you should interrupt whatever you're doing to do the mitzvah now. Amar Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira says, my kushya, what's the question? Dilma mitzvah lafsuke. So comes along Reb Zera and says, well, maybe it's not such a kasha. Maybe what we're saying is like this. L'chatchila, you should stop. I both say, if I came home, I didn't yet bench Lulav and Esrog, I sat down to eat a meal, I realized, oh, I haven't bench Lulav and Esrog yet. You know what? L'chatchila, you should stop. Stop what you're doing. But what? But what if you didn't stop? Okay. If you didn't stop, you're still okay. Why? Because you could fulfill the mitzvah Lulav and Esrog throughout the entire day. Shekol hayom kosher lelulav, ela amar abzera, the olam kidarmina meikara. In reality, it's as we said before. I udekashi lecha hada oraisa, hada orai. Look at Rav Shmuel say, amar abzera the olam ki itzrich Rav Safra l'shanuye mishum kushya kamaise itzrich. So I want to say, in reality, we're going to go back. And really go with the original approach of Rav Safra. So the Gemara says, but what? We asked the question that how can you compare it to the Mishnah in Shabbos? Because after all, again, the Mishnah in Shabbos is it the Oraisa and when is it the Rabbanan? Hacha biyontov sheni drabanan askinan. Oh, what's the case of the Mishnah? I will say it's very interesting. The case of the Mishnah is a case of Yom Tov Sheni. I will say, if it's meaning that it's the second day Yom Tov. And what's the raya to that? What's the raya that it's Yom Tov Sheni? And I will say that Yom Tov Sheni doesn't have to mean just second day Yom Tov. Yom Tov Sheni means any day after the first. What's the raya that it's the second day? Dekunami midiktani mishaba baderech ve'in biyad alulav. Because what's the lashon? Lashon is somebody comes from a journey and he didn't have a lulav in his hand. The isaka daitcha, meaning he didn't have a lulav with him. Is there a concept of journeying on the first day of Yom Tov? Rav, so we've seen this concept, that's what? Now that's why, again, when he says Yom Tov Sheni doesn't have to mean like our Yom Tov Sheni, which we celebrate as Yom Tov Rishon, the second day Yom Tov, which in Eretz Yisrael already is Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara therefore says, the case of the Mishnah is talking about a case of really Chol HaMoed, or any day past the first day, because is somebody going to be journeying on the first day of Yom Tov? The answer is, of course not. So the Ma'aseh Gan Avos, what comes out from this Mishnah is the following Yisod, which is that Halacha L'Ma'aseh, if one came home and did not yet go ahead and bench Lulav and Esrog, so Halacha L'Ma'aseh, they should do that first thing before anything else. However, again, if one did sit down for a Seuda, without and then realize in the middle of the Suda that I have not yet benched Lulav and Esrog. So the truth is, l'chatchila, a person should stop. A person should really stop and bench Lulav and Esrog right then and there. If a person did not, it's okay also, provided that there's more time throughout the day to be able to bench Lulav and Esrog. If a person is worried that if they went to Suda, literally the window is going to close, then halacha l'maaseh, a person must stop in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Says the Mishnah. Misha Haya, and this is another interesting sugya. Misha Haya Eved O Isha O Katan Makrino. So, Bosa, listen to this. So now we're transitioning to a discussion about Halal. So let's say a person, what the way he was reciting Halal is that he had an Eved, a servant, or a woman, or a Katan, or a child, Makrino. So they were reading the phrase for him, and he in this case, by the way, is an adult male. And he, Makaroso, Ona Acharein Ma Shehein Omrim. So Rabbi Osai, he answers after what they are saying. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says, Makaroso, Kacha you know again. This was often the way they conducted themselves, meaning in davening. Echad Kori Esa Halal. One would read the Halal, Umotzi Es Harabim. And he would discharge the obligation of the collective. Vim Haya Eved O Isha O Katan, Hoil Ve'in Nichuya Bedavar. So Hilchach ona acharav kamashum omer. I'll say now this is very interesting. Halacha lemaisa. In order, we're going to touch on the concept of shomea kaona. So shomea kaona means what? If let's say again you recite something, I could be yotze with your recitation if I listen and you have in mind to discharge my obligation, provided that what? We are on the same level of obligation. You have to have the same level of obligation in order to discharge. So, for example, again, I can go ahead, right? We're all having a Shabbos suit together. One of us can make Kiddush on behalf of the rest, the collective, as long as we're all listening. And then Mekadish, one of us making Kiddush, could go ahead and be motzi and has in mind to discharge everyone's obligation. That's because we're all on the same level. But if you have two people on dissimilar levels of obligation, well, the one on the higher level of obligation could discharge one on the lower level of obligation, but not vice versa. So, for example, says the Gemara over here that like this, if you have an individual who is now, let me say it differently. So, therefore, Rashi says, the way they used to recite Hallel was that they have the tzibur, and their chazan would say Hallel out loud, and everyone else would listen, and they would discharge their obligation with the recitation of the chazan. Let's say, however, the person who's reciting it for you doesn't share your same level of obligation. The person is an eved, a servant, not obligated like you. An isha, not obligated like you. And halal is still part of a mitzvah seishas man grama. A katan, a child, is not obligated. So what happens in that case? So in that case, the halacha is, if they recite halal, in order for me to discharge my obligation, what do I have to do? I have to repeat. So I'm not utilizing shomea ka'ona. Essentially, what am I doing? I'm saying halal. I'm reciting halal. Just, again, obviously, this is a case of ignorance, where the person does not know how to recite Hallel, and therefore again, these individuals who are not obligated, they can't be motzi me, they're saying it and I'm repeating it. But look what the Mishnah says, v'tavo lo me'era, but a curse should come upon such a man. That's pretty stark. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, what does that mean, v'tavo lo me'era? Shelo lamad. So cursed be such a person who allows himself to remain in such a state of ignorance that he doesn't know how to recite Hallel, and the only way he could discharge his obligation is by hearing it from others who aren't even obligated in the same way. So, again, Rashi says again, you're cursed. Either because, again, there is no punishment for being ignorant. There is a punishment for sustaining ignorance. Sometimes a person is ignorant because they didn't know, they didn't have the opportunity to learn. So, okay, that's fine. But once you become an adult, you have mastery over your circumstances. If you choose to remain ignorant, for that you are liable. So the Mishnah says, a curse should come upon the person who allows himself to remain in a state of ignorance that he can't go ahead and even recite Hallel for himself. So the Gemara says, Imhaya Gadol, Makreoso, Brabosai, again, on the other hand, if you had a Gadol means an adult male. If an adult male was reciting the Hallel, so now again, Abosai, you have someone who shares your same level of obligation, then Makreoso, Ona Acharav, Hallelujah. So what happens, Abosai? In that case, what they would do is, so the Gadol, the Chazan, would read it, and everyone else would simply respond, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. That's what they would respond. That was the equivalent of Amen for Hallel. Rashi points out, Onin Acharav, Hallelujah, I called Dover, Shu Omer. So every single time he would say something, again, we'll see, was it after every statement, was it after every paragraph? This was the response for Hallel. So again, Abosai, remember, this is reflecting also a different mode of tefillah. The original mode of tefillah was much more a passive experience on the part of the congregation. The chazan did the active parts, the congregation did listening, and they were yotze ultimately with the shliach tzibur. So apparently with halal as well, the shliach tzibur would say it, they would answer halaluka, and that would be it. Makom shenahagu lichpo. Very interesting. Just in general, I always find that it's interesting to see like evolution of the halachic and prayer experience, because that's what often happens. So just see how they used to do halal to contrast with how we do it now. So the Mishnah goes on. He says, "Makom shenagu." Makom shenagu lichpo yichpo. In where you have a minog to go ahead and repeat phrases in halal. You can repeat phrases in Hallel. So Rabbi say again, we know we do this in certain parts in Hallel, and we will see historically different parts of Hallel were repeated. Lifshot, yifshot, if the custom is to go ahead and just recite the particular verse once, you just recite it once. Or in other words, Rabbi say with the, I'm sorry, levarich, yivarich, to make a bracha, make a bracha. Now this is not referring to the bracha at the beginning of Hallel. This is referring to the bracha at the end of Hallel. Everyone agrees that you make a bracha at the beginning of Hallel. There were different minhagim as to what you do at the end of Hallel. Hakol kemina gamadina. Also, it's very interesting. When it comes to Hallel, everything follows the standard custom of where you live. There were varying customs from locale to locale. Tanu Rabbana, says the Gemara. Be'emes amru, listen to this. In reality, we have said, ben mevarich laviv, a son could go ahead and literally make a bracha for his father. Ve'eved mevarich l'rabo, and a servant could make a bracha for his master. Ve'isha mevarech es l'baylo, and a woman could discharge her husband's obligation. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Ben mevarich l'aviv, bebirkas hamazon. So here, the Gemara is quoting, this is a sugi rabosai. We saw this sugi about a year and a half ago in Maseches Brachos. So Rashi points out over here, ben mevarich l'aviv, birkas hamazon. Listen to this. So remember, the Gemara says, technically speaking, a child, once he reaches the age of chinuch, could bench on behalf of his father, and his father could listen, answer amen to his son's brachos, and the father could be yotzei. Now, you'll say, how could that be? Because again, we only say shomeh kol only works when people enjoy the same level of obligation. So the answer is like this. Rabbo say, you are only chayiv to bench mid-da'oraisa if what? If a person is satiated. Let's say, again, I'm not satiated. I ate a kizayis of bread. I have a rabbinic obligation to bench. Well, if an adult male eats only kizayis of bread, he has a biblical, is a rabbinic obligation to bench. A child who's reached the age of chinuch has a rabbinic obligation to bench. Similarly, a woman, now again, woman is interesting when it comes to birkas hamazon. So let's assume for now, for just a moment, that a woman, well, truth is, you could even say, let's keep it easier. A woman has a biblical obligation to bench. A man has a biblical obligation to bench. An eved may have a rabbinic obligation to bench. And there's adomib. So therefore, in all of these cases, technically speaking, because these two people enjoy the same level of obligation, a wife could recite birkas hamazon on behalf of her husband. She has in mind to discharge his obligation. He has in mind to discharge his obligation, and lemaisa what? And therefore, again, he could be yotze. The son could bench on behalf of his father. And again, assuming they have all the right kavanas, he could be yotze eved as well. So technically, it works. But aval amru chachamim tavo me'ira the adam she'ishto ubanav mevarchim lo. A curse should come upon a man whose wife and whose children have to go ahead and bench on his behalf. Rashi points out she'ishto ubanav mevarchim lo. So Chazal say it works, but woe to the person who has to use this. Woe to the person who is so significantly ignorant that he cannot bench on his own, and he needs to rely on his child, and he needs to rely on his wife, or needs to rely on his servant to discharge his obligation. So technically, mechanistically, it works, but again, says Chazal, what a sorry state of affairs for a man who has to rely on this. Hilchasa, so now, fine, that's the end of that. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hilchasa givirta ika lemashma min hagid dehalila. Rava said, now this is really fascinating, and I'd encourage you, you know, it's a fast day. Hopefully you'll have a little bit of downtime over the course of the day. I'm giving you advance warning. I'm not going to do justice to this sugya just because of timing. This is fascinating. What Rava is saying is like this. Hallel over time has evolved. It's evolved. It's looked different ways over the ages. Now, how do we know that already? How do we know that Hallel's looked what? Why? Minhag HaMakom, right? Because what did the Mishnah say? Essentially, when it comes to Hallel, everything is kiminhag HaMedina. So what Rava points out is that our Rava is pretty much referring to the Hallel we have today. That our Hallel that we have today contains almost allusions to all different types of halelim and all different types of halachos that have been in effect over the ages. That's why he says, Amar Rava, hilchasa gavirta ika lemashma minhaga. You can learn many great halachos from miminhaga dehalila, from our halal. So listen to this. Hu omer hallelujah, vehein omrim hallelujah. He, who means he, right? Well, obviously, right? Who, the he refers to the shliach tzibur, refers to the chazan. So who omer hallelujah, whenever the chazan recites hallelujah, hein omrim hallelujah. The tzibur responds hallelujah. What do we see from here? Mikan shemitzvah la'anos hallelujah. From here we see, Rabbosai, that whenever you hear hallelujah, the proper response is what? Is hallelujah. Hu omer hallelu avdei Hashem. When the Shliach Tzibur says hallelu avdei Hashem, v'hein omrim hallelujah. They respond hallelujah. Mikan shem haya gadol makreoso ona acharav hallelujah. From here we see what, Rabbosai, that if hallel is being led by an adult male, that essentially we could rely on Shomea Kaona, and Shomea Kaona says that whatever the Shliach Tzibur says, it's as if you said it yourself, and therefore you need not actually recite the words. All you need to do is answer a response in the affirmative. So whereas normally the response in the affirmative would be Amen, for Hallel, the response in the affirmative is Hallelujah. Hu Omer Hodu LaHashem. The Chazan says Hodu LaHashem. The Hain Omrim Hodu LaHashem. And the Tzibur responds Hodu LaHashem. What do we see from here? Mikan Shemitzvah La'anos Rashi Prakim. From here we see that in Hallel there is a mitzvah to repeat the beginnings of each paragraph. That after the Chazan says it, the Tzibur repeats just the beginning phrase of the paragraph as well. Itmar Nami. So too it was stated. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, mitzvah la'anos roshei prakim. It is a mitzvah to go ahead and repeat the beginnings of the paragraph. So Rabbi say again, the way it works, obviously our recitation of halal is different, because in our halal, we do not rely on Shomei Kona, we do not rely on the Chazan really for anything. We say it ourselves, but at some point in time, even when they relied on the Chazan to recite it, the Chazan would recite the opening words of the paragraph, and everyone would repeat those same opening words. Hu omer ana Hashem hoshiana. The Chazan says, ana Hashem, please Hashem, provide us with salvation, save us. Vehein omrim, and they also say, ana Hashem hoshiana. What do we see from here? Mikan shim hayakatan makri oso onin acharav. Mashu omer. From here we see Rabbi say that what? That if there was a katan leading Hallel, that you cannot rely on Shomei Kona, and what would you do? You'd have to repeat the same words after the chatan. So both say, what Rav is pointing out over here is that certain of these practices were built into halal as a way of what? As a way of remembering the halachos. Because it's fascinating, right?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Right? It's riveting. Because why? Because what it's saying is that Chazal structured halal in a way that the halachos were built into it, even though it was not necessarily pertinent to that particular recitation. So some things we'll say responsively, some things we'll just say hallelujah. Here we're going to say, the Chazan says, Ana Hashem Hoshiana. We repeat Ana Hashem Hoshiana. What's that a remez to? That's a remez that if for some reason your halal is being led by a katan, remember, you can't use the concept of Shomei Kona by a katan, because the katan is not on the same level as the adult male. Therefore, what do you do? The katan says you have to repeat every word after him. Hu omer ana Hashem atzlichana. The Chazan says ana Hashem atzlichana. Vehein omer menei say ana Hashem hatzlichana. Mikan she'imba lichba kofel. What do we see from that? So I will say, from the repetition of ana Hashem Hoshiana, we learn that if a katan was leading Hallel, you have to repeat every word after him. From the repetition of ana Hashem atzlichana, what do we learn? We learn that if you want to double up, if you want to repeat phrases in Hallel, you have the right to do so. I will say, again, remember, in other places in Tefillah, it's not poshut that you could just repeat anything you want. But in Hallel, apparently we have the license to repeat whatever we want. Hu omer baruch haba, v'hein omrim b'shem Hashem. The Chazan says, apparently again, in earlier forms of Hallel, the Chazan would say baruch haba, and the Tzibra would answer b'shem Hashem. Mikan l'shomea ka'oneh. And Rabbi said, from here we see the concept of Shomea Ka'ona. Rabbi said, the fact that I don't have to recite Baruch Haba, but I can go ahead and just simply rely on the Chazan's recitation of Baruch Haba, and all I need to do is articulate B'Shem Hashem, indicates that what I hear from the Chazan is as if what? Is as if I've said it myself. Ba'u minei mi Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. They asked the Rabbi Chiya bar Abba the following question. Shama velo ana mahu. Rabbi said, what happens? What happens if a person heard but did not answer? Shama v'lo ana. So we'll say this is in a case of, now we're saying Shomea Ka'ona. So Shomea Ka'ona, so normally requires some type of response. Whether that response is Amen, whether that response is Hallelujah, whether that response is B'Shem Hashem, you normally need something. What happens if you listened but you didn't respond? Amar lehu. So he said to him, again, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba responded, Amar lehu chachimaya, the scholars, the safriya, the teachers, the reisha, the leaders of the people, V'darshin darshanim amru. They all said, Shama v'lo ana yatsa. That Rabbi say, if you had kavana to listen and to discharge your obligation and to be yotze, even if you did not respond with any type of affirmation, you are still yotze. Itmar nami amru Rabbi Shem Mepazi amru Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Mishu bar Kafra minayin l'shomea ka'ona. From where do we know the concept of shomea ka'ona? Rabbi said, this is very interesting. So what? Shomea ka'ona is a major concept for us. So where do we find it, the proof to it that it exists, that such a concept like this exists? It's very interesting. It comes from Navi, at least for now. It comes from Navi. Where do we see it in Navi? Dichsiv, es hadvarim asher kara Yoshiyahu. So listen to this. So the pasuk talks about Rabbi saying the idea that it's talking about when Yoshiyahu becomes king. Yoshiyahu becomes king at a very young age. And the Beis HaMikdash is in total disarray. Yoshiyahu orders for a cleanup and fixing up of the Beis HaMikdash. They found the Sefer Torah that was kept in the Azara. That Sefer Torah was normally kept by Bereishis. They found it, they opened it up, and they found that it was by the Tochacha. It was by the series of curses in Devarim. Yoshiyahu took this as a very serious, terrible omen, and therefore really sparked a tshuva campaign. Rabosa, if you remember again, on Tisha B'Av, we have a kina, and the kina is Vayikonin Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was the last king during the first temple era. It was he when he died. That was the nail in the coffin. That was it. Yoshiyahu was killed in battle. So ultimately, again, so what happened? So the Navi says that Yoshiyahu read all of these things that he found when he opened the Torah. So the Gemara says, one second, v'chi Yoshiyahu Karan. Did Yoshiyahu read from the scroll when they found it? It's not true. V'halo Shafan Karan. Shafan Rabosai was the one who read from the Torah, Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, Vayikra Shafan, Vayikari Shafan Lithnei HaMelech. Shafan, remember, Chilkiyahu, who was the Kohen Gadol, found it. He gave it to Shafan, and Shafan read the Torah before King Yoshiyahu. Vayikaru Shafan is called Ramail Lithnei HaMelech. So what do you see from here? Shafan was the one who read it. What was Yoshiyahu doing? He was listening. And yet what does the Pasuk say? That Yoshiyahu read it. What do we see from here? Mikan the Shomea Kona. From here we see that what? That when you listen to something with intent, it is as if you read it yourself. So Mar says, well, maybe not. V'tilma basa de karanu Shafan kara Yoshiyahu. Aye, maybe after Shafan read it, Yoshiyahu read it afterwards. Amar of Acha bar Yaakov lo sakadait chadichsev ya'an rach levavcha vatikana lifnei Hashem bisham echas hadvarim ha'ile. That can't be why, because later on the Navi says to Yoshiyahu that because your heart was soft and you humbled yourself before God when you heard the words of the Torah. The words of the Torah that the Navi is referring to is what? When Yoshiyahu heard that the Tochacha was being read. So what do you see from here? That Yoshiyahu himself never read the words of the Torah, rather, in this context. Rather, what happened? He heard it being read by Shafan, and yet what? The Navi reckons it as if Yoshiyahu read it himself. V'sham acha. So clearly see, Yoshiyahu only heard it v'lo bikar acha. And ultimately, again, never read it himself. What do you see from your Rabosai? That Shomea Ka'ona. So this is fascinating. That the concept of Shomea Ka'ona, in fact, does not seem to have a biblical origin, although we'll talk about this more tomorrow. But rather, again, it seems to be that the proof for it comes from this episode with Yoshiyahu HaNavi. Well, so I just point out over here, if you take a look at Tosos for just a moment, Tosos says, Shama velo ana yatsa. Tosos says, Mish eni yodea likros velo la'anos, im shama v'kive neslibo l'shmoa, afa pishlo ana yatsa. I will say that this is halacha lemaisa. That again, if a person does not know how to read, a person doesn't know how to recite something, and you listen and your kavan is to discharge your obligation, even if you do not answer in the affirmative with an amen and haleluka, b'shem Hashem, whatever it is, you're yotzei. I will say this is very important. V'chein lemispalalin b'tzibor, v'shliach tzibor omer kedusha, o yehesh mei rabba mevorach, yishasku mitfilasan, v'yishmu'u v'harei hein ka'onin. Rabbi said, this is very interesting. This actually, again, I'm going to give this to you, but we're not going to have time to really go through it now. Take good care. Just pass it around quickly. So I'll just show you only in the 1 minute that we have. What Tosas points out over here is you see from this sugya that what? that lemaisa shamea ka'one works even if what Rabbi say, even if you don't answer anything. Now this is very interesting because if you take a look, I've xeroxed for you over here from Hilchos Tefilas Simin Kuf Dalet Sif Zayin, top of the page. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Eino posek, lo lekadish lo lekdusha el yishtok v'yichavi l'mash amar shatz v'yehei ka'one. So halacha, let's say I'm in the middle of Shmona Esrei. I'm in the middle of Shmona Esrei. What happens? And the Chazin gets up to Kaddish or Kiddusha. So what do I do if I'm in the middle of Shmona Esrei? I'm quiet. I don't say anything. I listen to what the Chazin is saying. I have Kavana. And it's like what? It's like Shomea Ka'ona. Then I was like, here's the problem. If it's like Shomea Ka'ona, then what? Then what? Then why isn't that a hefsek in the middle of Shmona Esrei? Look at what the Mishnah Berurah says. Mishnah Berurah says, V'hei Ka'ona, Chaf Ches, just quickly, V'hei Ka'ona, Le'inyon she'yotze b'zeh yedei chiyuv kadosh kedusha, u'mikol makom l'chashiv hefsek. So this is interesting, right? To a certain degree, we're almost like talking out of two sides of our mouth. What we're saying is, l'maisa, real shomea ka'one requires what? Requires an affirmation. Requires a verbal affirmation on the part of the listener. B'di'eved, if you didn't answer, it works. But l'maisa, as long as there's no verbal affirmation, it's not a hefsek. So therefore, we kind of play this both ways. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, if I'm in the middle of Shmona Esrei, I cannot go ahead and be mafsek. But at the same time, I don't want to miss the Kaddish, I don't want to miss the Kiddusha, I don't want to miss the Baruch Hu, to which the halacha says it's okay, based on this Tosis, based on this Gemara, that Shmona Kona works even if you're not answering. But because there's no verbal affirmation, it doesn't count as a hefsek. So it counts as if I'm Yose, as if I heard it, but it doesn't count as a hefsek because I'm not answering. Therefore, Allah is supposed to be very, this is the Shulchan Aruch. If I'm in the middle of Shmona Esrei and there's Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, what's the proper protocol? Stop what you're doing, listen, even concentrate on what they're doing. That discharges my obligation. That's as if I've recited it, but at the same time does not create a hefsek in my Shmona Esrei. All right, so I'll stop over here.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Stop, drop, and roll. Just the stop. Okay. Just the stop. Okay.